KFAI.org. Non-commercial, community-powered radio. Stay tuned for the Filipino American National News. Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat and welcome to the Filipino American National News. I'm Alan Bunju. On tonight's show, we will be playing two phenomenal interviews that we were able to conduct over the last couple of weeks, along with some musical selections this evening. As we stated earlier, and as we've stated in previous shows, that we have two interviews lined up for tonight's show. And the first of which is an interview that we did with a documentary film director by name of Michelle Josue, who is the director of the documentary Nurse Unseen that was screened here in the Twin Cities at the Riverview Theater a few weeks back in collaboration with the Philippine Nurses Association of Central Minnesota, that was able to bring this documentary film here to Minnesota for the public here in Minnesota to see this film that we are looking to show here on the show this evening. It's a film that I think for a listening audience who are not familiar with the history of Philippine nurses, where we learn about the history that dates back to the 1960s, where there is a first big wave of nurses that came to the U.S. to practice medicine, but also the effects that nurses had during COVID-19, some of the casualties that happened as a result of COVID-19 to these Philippine nurses, and some of the triumphs that were able to happen even despite this pandemic. But for right now, we're going to play that first interview that we've highlighted for a few weeks, and this is once again with director Michelle Josue, documentary film director of the film Nurse Unseen.
The Filipino-American National News is happy to have the director of the documentary Nurses Unseen, Michelle Josue.
Yes.
Definitely a very touching movie, documentary. We just got done watching it here in Minnesota that the Philippine Nurses Association of Central Minnesota was able to bring your film here. What was the process of bringing this story to light to the vast community?
Well, thank you so much for coming and featuring this special event. It really is such an honor to be here in Minneapolis. I'm actually from LA, so I traveled here to be with the community and share this important film. In terms of the process of making it, it's been many years in the making. So I come from a long line of nurses. This is a very personal story to me. My auntie, who lived with us and helped raise myself and my sisters, was a nurse. She immigrated to the United States in 1968. I wanted to make a film in tribute to her. So pre-pandemic, around 2019, I was doing a lot of research about my own family in relation to nursing. I came across Dr. Catherine Siniza Choi's wonderful work, Empire of Care, which really outlines this history of nurses, Filipino nurses in the United States. So that was what I was working on before the pandemic. I was wanting to make a film that would honor my tita, honor this history. Then when we came into the pandemic and we were really hearing about how instrumental, how essential, specifically our Filipino nurses were to keeping us all safe during the pandemic, and we were learning and hearing about these reports of how disproportionately affected our nurses were and how they were dying on the front lines, I took a step back and realized that maybe this project that I had been working on should evolve. And I then thought about creating a film that would both honor this personal history of our family and our communities, but also zoom out and just document what was happening to our Filipino nurses during COVID and how they were contributing and even sacrificing so much. So this was back in 2020. As soon as we got vaccinated in 2021, we went out into the field to start making this film. And we focused mainly on New York and California to tell the story of Filipino nurses in the United States.
We as Filipino Americans definitely know what the impact of nurses, Filipino nurses, both male and female, is. What has been the response of, I guess, the non-Filipino community of what the impact Filipino nurses have had through the nursing industry since the early 60s?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think, you know, it's a stereotype that so many nurses are Filipino. If you're Filipino, you're a nurse. So within our community, it's very known. But outside of the community, this is something that is rarely talked about, let alone appreciated. And it was only when people were realizing that our nurses were dying and sacrificing themselves to care for the country that the broader community was starting to take notice. It is a joke in the film how, you know, there's in ER, there wasn't any Filipino nurse featured in that show. You know, and our nurses are unseen. So what we were wanting to do in this film was put our nurses at the center, put them at the forefront so everyone understands how much they contribute to our healthcare system and healthcare systems around the globe.
Definitely for the listeners and viewers of our interview, definitely I hope that they have a chance to see Nurses Unseen, because there are things in the film where you definitely see that the determination of these nurses, especially the Filipina nurses, immigrants that came to the United States to become nurses, that I feel like they were, there's so much forms of responsibility, responsibility to family, the Philippines, responsibility here, that even the craziness of the pandemic of COVID-19, that they still felt the need to work, even the ones who were the senior nurses. And What was like that to hear those stories from those nurses that were in the field for so long and still wanting to serve?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we were hearing a lot of stories about nurses who probably would have been my tita's age in their 70s coming out of retirement to serve on the front lines because they wanted to care, they wanted to serve. And this isn't the first time. So, you know, throughout different periods of time, different crises in our country, it was our Filipino nurses who have stepped up to care. So in the 80s with the AIDS crisis, when a lot of nurses refused to care for these AIDS patients, it was our Filipino nurses in large part who stepped up to take that responsibility. So to hear these stories, it's always really heavy. I try to understand that this is bigger than us, it's bigger than me, and it's really important that the world at large know what our titas do, what our nurses do. You know, this film really is a love letter, and it's a portrayal of that kapwa, that spirit of care that our culture is all about. I mean, it's a tremendous, honorable legacy. And I wouldn't be here in this country if it wasn't for our nurses. And it was because of the nurses like my tita and the nurses in our, you know, neighborhood and in our community who raised us that really instilled in us this the importance of community and being of service. So I hope people see that when they watch this film.
A few more questions before we end this. You talked about in the post screening that hopefully in the future that you'll be able to screen this in the Philippines.
Yeah.
What will that moment be like for you and I guess your family? You talk about your family being involved in nursing. For you to screen this in the Philippines and them seeing the experiences of nurses abroad as overseas workers.
Yeah. So it's been a long journey with this film. Of course, we started here in the United States. This film is set, you know, in the U.S. and primarily focuses on California and New York, but it's really a universal one with such incredible ties to the homeland. So it's always been in our plans to take it overseas and specifically to take it to the Philippines. So when that happens, and hopefully it'll happen this year in 2025, I know it will be a very beautiful, very meaningful experience. I really want to see how Filipinos and Filipino nurses there in the Philippines take to the film and understand more deeply what it's like. Because I do think sometimes there is the tension between Filipino Americans and Filipinos who are in the Philippines, or even Filipinos who immigrated and are in this country for many years. I think there's this tension between the two groups. People think that once you're in the United States, you have it made, it's the land of milk and honey. But in reality, that's not necessarily the case. You know, sure, you make a lot more money as a nurse here in the United States, but there are other things that you face, and the film really tries to delve into that. You know, there's elements of systemic racism that we discuss in the film. Just the experience of leaving everything you've known in your family behind to start anew. It's a very isolating, lonesome, alienating experience sometimes. And it was because of that our titas and all of our Filipinos who came and immigrated to this country found each other and built communities and were really pillars of the Filipino-American communities that are here today. So I hope that Filipinos, when they see this, when we bring it over there, will see a more nuanced experience of what it's like to be in this country through Nurse Unseen.
And you are a filmmaker.
Yes.
Are there any other films that might have a Filipino or even non-Filipino slant that our viewers and listeners might want to catch from you?
Yeah, thanks so much for that question. So I've devoted a lot of my career to telling Filipino and Filipino-American centered stories. I think it's really important. My first Filipino project was Happy Jail, which is a series on Netflix about the dancing inmates in Cebu. So that's still on Netflix. You can check it out. currently, I'm about to release on PBS my new film, Food Roots, which follows Filipino-American restaurateur Billy Deck and his journey going back to the Philippines to discover the recipes of his ancestors. And it's a really beautiful, poignant film that I'm really excited for people to discover.
I almost find it poetic that we just had an ambulance go by and we're talking about nursing experience.
Yes.
This is almost a full circle moment too, because if my memory serves me right, in college I had a class taught by Catherine Choi.
Oh my gosh.
And I read her book.
Yeah.
And so to see her there in the movie and then interviewing you, and it's a full circle moment showing that even though Filipinos move overseas or all around the world, we all have some sort of connection.
Absolutely.
So thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you.
And good luck with the rest of your screenings.
Thank you.
And once again, that was director Michelle Josue, the director of Nurses Unseen. And for right now, we are going to play our first song of the evening. And this song is from the artist known as Renard Silva. And the name of this song is The Way I Still Love You.
Single day goes by, hear me running through my mind.
That was Reynard Silva with The Way I Still Love You. You're listening to the Filipino American National News, which is heard every Sunday here on KFAI from 9 to 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on 90.3 FM. Also heard online at kfai.org and by searching the Filipino American National News, where our show is archived up to 2 weeks. Also, you can find us via Google Play and the Apple Store by searching for the KFAI app. And as we stated earlier, we do have one other interview that we did with current Washington Wizards player development coach Peter Felicero, who was in town a couple weeks ago as the Washington Wizards took on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Ironically, a few days ago was Coach Felicero's birthday, and we talk about his experiences as an NBA player development coach and his early years as a person growing up in Mount Prospect, Illinois. And here is our interview with Coach Peter Felicero, player development coach of the Washington Wizards. The Philippine American National News is proud to have player development coach of the Washington Wizards, Pete Felicero. Welcome to the show, Pete.
Hey, how you doing? Good to see you.
Pete, the one thing I've admired in your journey, I mean, you're still a young guy, as far as I can tell. You know, Filipinos don't age, but I mean, your grind, I mean, from doing videography work with Mac Urban Hoops in the Chicagoland area. Where did this love for basketball come from?
It really came from my family. Obviously, I grew up around basketball, and just being in Chicago, had a really big love for, you know, not only the Bulls, but just Chicago high school basketball, and growing up seeing that was really inspiring. And just knowing too, being from the, you know, being Filipino, my grandpa coming from Manila, just how much basketball means to them over there. And so it's kind of always been in my blood, and on both sides of my family. So it's always been special to me. I've always played it since I was 5 years old. So it definitely means the world to me, and it's changed my life.
And from an early age, you thought about potentially getting into player development. Why did that come into your mind?
Probably when I got to college. I used the video camera just to be around the game of basketball at a high level. And then once I got to college at the University of Kansas, I wanted to kind of make that shift. And so I would go back home in the summertime back to Chicago and help summer camps at my high school and work with some of my old teammates that played like Division III. And then I would just shadow a number of player development coaches in the area. I was helping at the combine down in Chicago, just rebounding, just trying to learn as much as I could. And so I would say around college is when that shift really happened.
Here with the Timberwolves, we know the big influence that Coach Crean had on Anthony Edwards, his one season there. What sort of influence did Coach Crean have with you at the University of Georgia?
My work ethic. He really showed me what it meant to really attack a day. Early mornings, late nights, and then being really intentional with helping guys get better. He was so detail-oriented when it came to player development, when it came to shooting, when it came to decision-making. He really pushed me and gave me a lot of responsibility at a young age, being a grad assistant, so I'm forever thankful for him.
You said you're from the Chicagoland area, Mount Prospect, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me for our listeners out there about what the Filipino American basketball scene's like out in Chicago?
Oh, it's incredible. I would play in the different Filipino basketball leagues. You know, they were playing over at Loyola. That was like obviously a big area. Just in the northwest suburbs, even like northern part of Chicago, that's where it was pretty popular. And so to be able to play in those tournaments, it was ultra competitive, and I enjoyed being a part of it.
As a player development coach, what sort of skills would you give young players in regards to what things they should work on to become a better player?
I think the biggest thing is their mindset and their approach and building habits. You know, without that, you know, that feeds into everything. That feeds into how you are when it comes to like defense and when it comes to the shooting, a number of things. So the mindset and approach is the number one thing.
And just a few quick questions. Do you have any favorite Filipino dish?
Oh, I love pancit. I love lumpia, chicken adobo. But I'm willing to try them with anything. It's really good.
Filipinos are known for either being like really good singers or dancers. Do you fall under any one of those?
We used to do karaoke when I went to the Philippines for the first time in 2016. We had a whole karaoke party at my grandpa's house, so that was a lot of fun. I used to do like musicals when I was really little, but I've lost my voice ever since.
And before we let you go, I hear you're really big into juicing with juicers. Is there a particular thing you would recommend in terms of a concoction that you make that's
like a
healthy,
smoothie?
Like a smoothie, yeah.
I really like banana, spinach, almond milk, some type of plant-based protein, and maybe put a little almond butter in there, and that'll be pretty good.
Well, thank you for your time, Coach Falcero.
Appreciate you, Alan. Thank you.
And once again, that was our interview with Washington Wizards player development coach Peter Falcero. We are coming quite close to the end of the Filipino-American national news. Next week, we will have a review of the 46th annual presentation of the Debutantes and Escorts, which is presented by the Film Minnesotan Association. But for right now, we are going to end the show with a song from a group known as the Cordelia Songbirds, and this is their song, You Are Forever. Stay tuned for sound effects.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM, Minneapolis-St. Paul, online and archived at kfai.org. It's where community grows.